How do I hear the Spirit? How do I hear the Spirit? Okay, let's get going. All right. How to hear the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing I decided to do was, you know, after I cheated and Googled, tried to get a quick response. Surely somebody else has covered this ground, and that's not the first time. So I said, let me cheat and, you know, get to the quick answer and just kind of Google it up. So I got some Google stuff, and there's some good stuff out there. But then I also have my own personal testimony of how I hear the Spirit. But then I started thinking logically, since we're doing parables, in the natural, how do we communicate? And this opened up I love these parables. It opens up a huge door to expand my understanding, I think, of how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And one of the things that's kind of popped in my mind, again, from the parables, is, well, how do we communicate in the natural? And, of course, there are, and let me make this a little bit bigger for Sandra. Boom. I know you love it. I know you love it. All right. So there are five types of communication. You got verbal, nonverbal, written, active listening, as opposed to just listening, because active listening and listening, two different things. And you got the visual. So the verbal, and I think the inmate, when he asked the question, I don't hear the Holy Spirit. How do I know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me? I think he's thinking in terms of an audible voice, you know, kind of hovering around that he kind of hears it physically. And certainly that can happen. I mean, it's all throughout the Bible, both the Old and New Testament. But I think he limited his assumption or limited how the Spirit moves in that box. And now all of a sudden, when I look at the five types of communication, it just opened up a wide spectrum for how the Spirit might be able to operate. Alright? And I know a lot of us here know when the Spirit speaks. So you can add to this lesson that I give back to him to kind of get him back on track. Alright. Just some other notes here. There's a lot of competition for our attention. God is talking to us. The devil is talking to us. Our carnal nature and our selfishness is talking to us. So how do we know when God is talking to us, and how do we filter all the other noise out? All right. So one of the things that I saw is how you can tell it's the voice of God. It will always line up with the revealed scriptures. It will always line up with scripture, which is particularly important today when we've got so much compromise and so much diversity gone awry, where it seems like we have embraced everything and everything is okay. And everything that's okay ain't okay because the Spirit ain't in that. That makes sense? And so there's a lot of things that are happening in the country and the world. May I pause and just put my foot on thin ice for just a minute. There are a lot of things going on in church that seem good, seem okay, but wind up being a compromise because it is not from the Spirit of God, or it does not line up with the spirit and intent of what God is looking for. And it might not be popular. If it's not popular, sometimes we have a tendency to compromise so we can fit in and not offend. Okay, let's keep going. All right. So I started pulling out some scripture to kind of support some different things. And as we go through my notes, what I'd like you to do is tell me which of the five types of communication this might fit into. So I took a look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. I guess I could pull it up, but it said, in essence, take no thought. Well, I'll tell you what would be good. If somebody, because you're seeing the scripture on my screen, if somebody would jump to the scripture before I get there, then that would be good.
All right. Matthew 10:19-20.
All right. Well, if you would, I got it on the notes there, just kind of the synopsis. But if you want to read that, that would be great.
Okay. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you.
Got it. So, again, in my notes there, take no thought of how or what you're going to say. All right? The Spirit will give it to you when you need it at that moment. Now, before we go any further, what do I have to do in order to allow the Spirit to speak through me? If you don't say the steps, there you go. You got to say the steps. And for the sake of our guests, and they may not know the math in the back or whatever, but one, you got to be humble and you got to ask yourself, Lord, I'm getting ready to preach today. Lord, I need you. Two, I repent of any preconceived ideas or fears or my agenda. All right, I lay all that down. My desire to look fly and be entertaining. Doesn't mean I don't want to be boring, but I don't want to get. What did you say, Sandra?
Being all holy.
Well, I do want to be all holy, but I don't want to be self-holy.
Yeah.
And so now I am trusting in God, and I'm saying, Lord, you take control. I'm trusting you. By faith, I'm using this scripture and saying, Spirit, the words that I'm that's coming out, may they be from you. May I just be the instrument that you use. And then four, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring to my attention those things that bring you glory that will bless your people. Got to do the first three, the four steps or whatever in order for Matthew 10, 19, and 20 to come to fruition in your life. All right? Now, this only pertains to people like me who are getting ready to go out and preach a sermon or teach a class, right?
No.
All of us, anybody who's a Christian.
So anybody who's getting ready to have a conversation with somebody else, especially if you're trying to minister to that person. It could be parents talking to kids, kids talking to parents. You want to follow these steps and make sure that the Spirit is the one that's communicating through you to them. Got it? Okay. Let's keep going. All right. Then it talks about John chapter 3 is another one of the verses. I just Google up a bunch of different verses. Here's some of the ones that I like as I Google them up. John chapter 3 verses 6 and 8. You know, he's talking to Nicodemus here. And Nicodemus is all confused about, you know, being born again. Those types of things or whatever. And we know through our steps that being born again leads to being led by the Spirit of God. And I just kind of like, you know, if you turn to it, that's fine. But he's explaining the move of the Spirit. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't not tell where it's coming or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What do you think that means? Does somebody have a different translation rather than my King James version? That
I have New King James.
Okay.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is the Holy Spirit communicating in our life like that.
Hope so.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
The new living says the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Can't see it.
So it was not difficult. I could see the difficulty that the inmate might have, and I'm not hearing him because he's expecting to hear the Spirit in a manner that he's hearing in the natural. And the Holy Spirit, he's a spirit, and he moves a little differently. All right? Also, where does the Holy... Well, we'll get to that later, but... Well, no... Where does the Holy Spirit reside?
In us.
It's in us. So it doesn't make much sense that I would hear the voice externally when he's residing within me, so I should be hearing it internally. Got it?
That's good.
I mean, if he resides in me, then it should be coming from within me.
Once in a while, sometimes he speaks through other people to you. That's one of the ways.
Yep. All right. Now, of our five types of communication, this wind blowing or whatever, which of the five types of communication could that fall under? It could be verbal. Could it be nonverbal?
It could be written.
It could be written too. All right. I love John chapter 14. Because John chapter 14 is where Christ says, hey, I'm getting ready to go to the cross. And they get all, you know. Where are you going? Where are you leaving? What's going on? You know.
Can we go with you?
Well, I don't know if they wanted to go where he's getting ready to go. He's getting ready to go to the cross, right? You know, and he's comforting them, you know. Let not your heart be troubled, I think the chapter opens up with. Neither be afraid. So in John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and verse 26, I have that on the screen. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So let's pause right there. What is a comforter, and how does that work in the natural?
Well, a comforter can reassure you, can give you strength, remind you promises that God has made. I look at it like this. That's how the Holy Spirit came and reminded the disciples, because they wrote the gospel. They didn't write it at the time it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years later. So it's just it comforts you in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So again, back to our earlier statement, as you see the rest of that verse there, I'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Again, this is a key, this should be the guard against false, fake news, fake advertising, you know, social media stuff or whatever. This should be the filter which we run all of that stuff through. Does it line up with the Word of God? And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you might be listening to the wrong voice. Does it line up with the Word of God? I'm not going to step on that ice again, but when you look at all the different things that are trying to roll into the church, does it line up with the Spirit of God? Are we supposed to love everybody? Regardless, absolutely. I want every Tom, Dick, and Harry in my church, in this Bible study class. Absolutely. Bring them in. Open the doors. Wide open. You come on in.
Come as you are.
Come as you are. Whew, Sandra, you just said something. Anybody ever go fishing? Got it. I grew up fishing. Do you first clean the fish?
No.
Got to
catch it first.
Got to catch it first.
Right.
If I got my fillet knife and my descaler or whatever the heck I'm going to be using, and I got that on the boat, and I got all the tools for cleaning, but I don't have any fish, that's kind of stupid. So take that as a parable. It's out of order for me to clean somebody up before they get into church, class, whatever. Were you all cleaned up before you got to?
No.
Did you show up as you? Then why would we? Okay. Anyway. I want everybody in, and then I will loving you. We will love you. We will lovingly teach you and share with you the truth. Because I'm going to love you. If I don't tell you the truth, am I really loving you?
No.
No. We can agree to disagree. I told you the truth. You disagree. Still hang out with you. But when those opportunities come in the spirit, I have to tell you the truth. If I don't tell you the truth, am I in line with these scriptures and the word and the intention of God?
No.
No. Don't compromise. But you have to do it the right way. The same way he did. Because we're his disciples. When the love... Hey, wait a minute. What is the fruit of the spirit in the first place? So even though you could be in right standing and you're holier than thou and you got your nice suit on and you're looking all good, like there ain't no stink or funk of sin on you, you know, is it possible that in all of that righteousness and holiness, Anthony, is it possible that you can still miss the Spirit of God?
Absolutely.
By trying to beat the hell out of people instead of trying to love the devil out of them?
Yeah.
We need to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. That's why it is so important to understand and hear, all right, spirit.
Sometimes we're too quick to do the first thing you said.
Oh, yes. I've done that.
Yeah, but in the same sense, you know, you're talking about beating the hell out of somebody. We can't let them beat the hell out of us.
Nope.
You gotta stick to your guns and stick to the truth. Because what did Jesus do? He would go to somebody, he would speak the truth, they rejected him, he dusted his sandals off and left.
But still,
he didn't judge him.
In love. Yeah, still in love. God gives us free choice. Yeah, I got so many friends. I got a few friends. And they got different lifestyles. And they love the Lord. And they will sit here and they will argue with you that, God loves me and I have his spirit. And I'm like, okie dokie. But there's the word. There's the truth. It's not for me to judge you. It's just for me to ask the question. How do you resolve what you want to do with the truth of the word? Because I love you enough to lovingly give you the truth.
And it may take a lot of times.
And it may be rejected. But one thing you will not be able to say, I didn't love you. I'm going to love you all the way through.
Stay consistent.
Yeah.
Well, my sister is a teacher. She always tells us little stories about her students asking her questions about different things. And she, you know, being a teacher in the public school system, she has to be really, really careful.
Yep.
And she will quickly say things like, well, if you believe what the Bible says,
okay,
and I do,
right,
then this, 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 and this. So she's able to get truth,
all right,
according to what the Bible says, into their minds without teaching the Bible.
Right.
Because she's answering their question. And if we could just think like she thinks, even in our normal everyday life, you know, a lot of times what I'll say with the boys is, well, I believe what the Bible says, and the Bible says this.
Yeah.
Then we're getting truth there, but we're not being preachy.
I need
holier than thou.
This,
coming across
this
to
seems
them
so
way.
This seems so difficult. Have to be so careful. It seems so difficult. What, you know what makes it easier? Just listening to the Spirit.
Yes.
I don't have to kind of craft this,
yeah,
using my own wisdom and thoughts or whatever. I can just go to the Spirit and say, hey, Spirit, what brings you glory in this relationship, in this situation, in this interaction? So it's important for us to understand and hear the unction of the Holy Spirit. And what, again, as the inmate said, what does that sound like? What does that look like? Okay. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How does he come to us? I'm going to write that down. Give him that. How does he come to you?
We have to have a posture.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit's very loving with me, but sometimes he knocks me on my butt.
So he says sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't come to you the same way. He's a versatile God. Got it, Carol. And so he comes to you different ways. Can he come in a soft, still voice like he came to?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, so I have to be active listening or whatever. Can he knock you on your butt like he did with Saul?
Yes,
he can. All right. So it's very, and it might work different ways for different people. And as I get a little bit further into this, I'll just share my own experience, because there's different ways in which I interact or hear the Spirit. And I'm pretty sure just about everybody's going to have similar thoughts or whatever. All right. Again, he dwells in us, as you see in verse 17. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So here's a key. Sometimes we interact with the Spirit because he brings something back to our remembrance. Ooh, there's something in the chat. Yes, Don asked, can he come to you in your dream as well? Are there any instances in the Bible where God spoke to people through dreams?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Daniel.
Joseph.
Joseph.
And got him in trouble.
Both Josephs.
Both Joseph, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Jacob.
New Testament stuff. There's examples in the New Testament. Yes. So the answer to your question, Don, is yes. Is that a form of communication out of our five items? Yeah. All right. Should you share your dreams with every Tom, Dick, and Harry?
No.
And does every dream come from God?
No.
Oh, wait a minute. This is good.
As Roger says, it could be that Chinese food you ate last night.
It could be the Chinese food you ate last night. Okay, there you go. All right. This is good. So I get a dream. And we just said that God can speak to us through our dreams. And I get this dream at, now, I don't know, when I grew up, some of the old folk or whatever in the family had one of these almanacs.
There
was
a farmer's almanac. Yeah.
Farmer's almanac.
Live and breathe by them.
Yes. And dreams had numbers. You don't know anything about that, Sandra. Anyway. So dreams had numbers. Then all of a sudden, somebody, you know, knocked on the door of the house, and, you know, $2 went out the door to play number because I just dreamed it or whatever. You know. Anyway, how do I know that my dream is coming from the Holy Spirit and not from somebody else or the Chinese food that I ate? It's got to line up with the Word of God and the Word of Truth. That's how you know. All right? This communication with the Holy Spirit is so critical and important. I don't think we as believers always understand. And I think we outrun our covering and just go out there and start doing stuff because it looks good, seems good, everybody else is doing it or whatever, and the Spirit did not ignite us or tell us to do that. Yes, ma'am.
One thing that is very important that God taught me a long time ago is, you know, one of the primary jobs of the Spirit is to comfort.
Yes.
We talked about that. And comparing it with our human, the way we interact humanly, a lot of times if I need comforting and Jimmy may come to comfort me, I may put my arm up and say, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. I want to hear what you have to say because I'm so into what I'm hurting in. Or
yes.
Going through. I don't want him to come and comfort me. But, and so God warned me. He said, don't refuse my comfort.
Woo! Are you trying to tell me that sometimes the Spirit moves through Brother Jimmy? Sometimes. Oh.
But I'm saying that when the Holy Spirit, whatever he comes to do, where he comes to help, to comfort, to stand by you, to strengthen you, to be your advocate, to remind you of the scripture, we often, as humans living in a broken world, will just immediately refuse it.
Wow.
But that's one thing that is important, I think, that we get, is because that is so prevalent. I'm talking about myself. I will be tempted to just go on about thinking my human way or staying in my pain and my suffering and my resistance instead of receiving and listening to the Holy Spirit.
And the Spirit is trying. I don't want to get too far because I really need to do this in one day. Wow. So is it possible that we don't want to hear the voice when he...
Sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
When we're in the flesh.
Woo!
We want to stay in our pity party.
Yes, we do! I got a whole song lined up.
We ain't ready
pity
to hit step one yet.
Okay.
Chuck, sometimes external influences, we accept those and give those more credibility than we do the word of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, Paul, you just said something. I'm going to type that in there. Paul. Sometimes we... Which is that? Oh, wait a minute. He's bringing it back to my memories. All right. Sometimes we... hear... external influences. Yeah, that's not how you spell external.
I think it's the other.
Drop the C.
Yeah. There you go.
I get a visual of myself sometimes. I refuse the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I just proceed to be like an 18-wheeler and plunge my way on down the highway into my own way and thinking, and it ends in not good.
Yeah. That's good.
The thing I think we skipped, though, in the very first verse in this is when he said, I send you another comforter.
That's replacing
him.
Oh!
So everything that they've been looking to Jesus for, Jesus is trying to say,
this is who you're going to be looking to when I'm gone.
Right, which is better because
he can be with everybody.
Exactly, exactly. I like what you said, Paul. I think part of the problem is, at least for me, I'm looking, that voice is louder than the voice of the Spirit. CNN and Fox is louder than the small, still voice. And until I do the steps and settle myself and actively listen, I'll miss it because of all the other noise that is so much louder.
And it's fixing to get, I believe this, I believe we may think it's loud now.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I think it's just going to go to another level.
It's in a bullhorn.
Yeah.
So
I pray that we, in our class and the circle, can continue to encourage one another to hear the voice of truth and to know that we can be
voice of truth.
Beyond just media, it could be friends.
Oh, yes.
Family.
Church family.
How many of us, you're not old enough yet, how many of us have done crazy things because of the influence of our friends who also were not listening to the Spirit?
Yeah.
I've been on a couple of road trips that I shouldn't have been on because my friends encouraged me, well, I don't know why you're still here. I'd be up the road already. I'd chip in on the gas. Come on, man. Because it met my carnal need. All I needed was justification from the wrong place.
You know, Susan said also about sometimes I just plunge ahead. You know, it's not, probably not so much anymore, but rugged individualism. I'll do it. I'll take care of it myself. I don't need anybody's help. You know, I'm not going to ask directions.
Right. I'm still struggling walking around Walmart looking for stuff because I won't ask directions. I'm the mom. I'm with you, Jimmy.
Good luck to you.
Yeah. Hey, I ain't asking. I got a humble myself to ask. I'm not asking. I will find it because I'm the Marlboro man without a cigarette, buddy. I'm telling you. Yeah.
Anthony, I'll walk in the door and won't even go look for it and say, hey, where's this?
No. No. Cannot. Anthony, yes, you had him.
Oh, no. I was just about to say, I think a lot of times when we do things, certain actions that we don't want to face accountability in.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah, I don't want to take responsibility because Spirit also kind of, you know. Yes.
Yeah, you know, down the torpedo's full speed ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you might want to rethink that.
Well, the fall of a lot of Christians.
Well, and I think the church is not as powerful as it could be.
Why not?
Because nobody's teaching this, and people aren't learning how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and how to hear Him. They're getting people saved and getting them a ticket to heaven, but they're not giving them how to be a Christian 101.
You mean they're not taking the next steps in general? Oh. Wait. So what you're saying is, let's go back to my fishing example. What you're saying is, we're catching the fish, and we're bringing them back.
But we ain't cleaning
them. And what happens when you got fish that ain't clean?
They go bad.
They go, woo! They go bad. Yes. There's more stuff rotten than in Denmark. But anyway, here we go.
Wrong voices too. You know, whenever somebody gets saved, and you don't get taught.
Yeah.
To listen, you know, they like you say, we hear the Spirit, but it's not really the Spirit. It's just things they believe are here.
Yeah, you know, nobody really told me.
Chinese food.
Yeah, nobody really told me about, you know, the Spirit and how the Spirit works and stuff like that. I thought it was just people in my Black Baptist church. I thought it was just people getting happy around 12:15 or whatever, and then flipping over a couple of pews or whatever. And, you know, I was like, hey, man, I ain't into that. If that's what the Holy Spirit is about, I don't want that. No.
Listen.
Yeah.
Brother Raymond our old church, he'd say, nobody preaches about the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And, of course, we came over here, and all, even the past pastors, mm-hmm. and you, all preach the Holy Spirit. Because mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit is here now.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He's your guide. He keeps you from the pileup.
But, I mean, you don't hear that much about the Holy Spirit when He's the one that's here now.
Well, He's the power. He's our power.
Is that scripture? Yeah! What are we supposed to do? Don't go anywhere until you receive power, as he talks about in Acts. Let's keep going. I got 15 minutes. Oh, man. I think I can get this done in an hour. All right, here's some other scriptures. Again, John 15:26. But when the Comforter has come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, again, that Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Here's another way that you can tell that it's coming from the Holy Spirit. It testifies of Jesus Christ and who he is. John 16:13, he will guide you in all truth. He will show you things to come. So how do I know that the Spirit is talking to me? He gives you revelation. It's not always, I don't always hear the Spirit in an audible voice. But I could be teaching, and Jimmy or somebody, Susan, you know, you still bless me with they looked, that yard thing about the birds coming to the, woo! You don't know how many times I have preached that and said that and put that on Facebook or whatever, and it's like, that's straight from the Spirit of God. When I heard that, I'm like, man, that's it. Sometimes you hear the Spirit through that revelation. It might come from somebody else. I could be reading the scriptures. I'm not hearing an audible voice, but I see something that I never saw before, and I, bam! That's the Spirit. Because
well,
he gives us revelation.
I tell people that I know I hear the Spirit when something comes to my mind that I know I can't think up on my own.
Yep. Exactly. That's the Spirit. Again, the inmate is thinking he can only speak in an audible voice. All right. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, now, you don't have to turn to that or whatever. Just another example of, you know, facilitating or listening to the Spirit through prayer and through fasting. All right. 1 Kings 19:12. I don't know what that is, but I think that's the small, still voice when he's talking to Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 2:14. I like this. Spiritually, it's the Spirit will help you to discern things. We have received the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So how else do I know the Spirit is talking to me? Because he gives you liberty. And he'll show you things that you can do as a Christian. But he'll show you how you can take authority over some things. All right. Oh, John chapter 10. We don't even have enough time to go through this. But this is, as I looked at this, my sheep know my voice. How?
All the above.
Yeah, I will learn how to spell one day. All right. That's still messed up. Shepherd. Woo! Man. That's all my years of public school. All right, here we go. You got to have a relationship with God. That's how you know. I know this is from the Lord because I know how he taught. I know this sounds like Christ. You have to have a relationship or else you'll just be listening to any voice out there. You have to have a lot. If you don't see your dad, but you hear his voice in the background, do you know it's him? Don't mess this up, man. I'm putting you on the line. Don't mess this
up. I guess so.
You guess so? Okay, you must, what do you do, sign language? You do the Vulcan mind meld or something? Okay. All right. I don't hang out with Jimmy that much, but I can tell his voice.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend whose husband is blind, and when she introduced us, we all were introduced to him. He sat and he really listened to our voice. So now when we come in, he doesn't see us.
Right.
But he knows who her friends are because he's learned our voices.
Yeah. I want to have that kind of relationship with God. If I got a long distance relationship with God, if I'm still at step one with God, if I'm still in Egypt, I know Him, my sins have been forgiven, but I'm still sitting around in Egypt, it's going to be hard for me to hear that small, still voice because of all the external influences. You know, Paul just said something that's, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. He just spoke to me again. Most of that noise, that interference externally comes from the world. Egypt represents the world. Can't we understand why God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and away from all that noise so they can get to Mount Sinai so He could hear them without being entangled with hearing all the stuff in the world? Then I got Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Here's another way you can understand the Spirit or see the Spirit in action. Love. The joy of the Lord. You can see the Spirit when I'm talking about Al. Because we got joy. I love that, brother.
In the prison ministry, they say, listen, listen, love, love.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And if I hadn't listened to that brother and loved them enough, we wouldn't be having this lesson right now. I hope it's helping somebody. I think all of us, for the most part, already know this. But sometimes I need to hear it again. Mm-hmm. So I don't go beyond my covering. All right. 1 John 4:2. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ has come. Yeah, so I hear him through his scripture. Now, here's my experiences. Bless you, Paul. It is not a voice that comes outside, but instead it comes inside, within me. Because God, Holy Spirit, is sovereign. He speaks first, then the other voices come in to confuse me. Okay, I hear you, Sandra. Amen. Amen. Because the devil's got to fight that truth that's coming to you. All right. And he does. You see that in the garden. God spoke first, and then who showed up afterwards? The serpent. Yeah. Try to throw her off. All right. Which he did.
It's like when your door, if somebody knocks at the door, and if it's going to be one of my family members or friends, they're going to say, it's me.
Yes, and I recognize that voice.
I recognize that voice, and I'm going to open the door.
Right.
But so often, a voice speaks to me, and I don't know that voice, and I go ahead and just open the door anyway and let it in.
Well, now, we can use that in the natural, because if you come to knock on my door, depending on, well, it don't even matter anymore the way the world is. If I don't recognize your voice and my cameras ain't on, if I open my door, I probably won't open my door, but if I do open my door, there'll be something else with me. Anyway, let's just keep going.
Kind of like on your phone.
Yeah.
You don't see a name on that phone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I tell people now, in the prison ministry, I got people all over the state calling me. And I'm like, you better text me because if I don't recognize the number, you ain't getting in.
Well, if I'm at the office and the office door has windows, and even if a woman comes to the door to want to, like, sell something or whatever, I will not. They're not coming in if I'm there by myself. They're just not coming in.
No. The world is evil.
That's a good example because I need to be, we can be careful, like, with that voice.
Yes.
Making sure when something comes to our mind, is that the voice of our Father, of our Savior, or of our Holy Spirit?
It reminds me of that commercial, exterminating commercial, where the roach goes to the door and knocks on the door. Do you know that commercial?
I shoot them too. Yeah.
Right. Hey, Chuck, you know another way to do that through our conscience.
Conscience, yes. That inner, yes.
When we're facing the decision, sometimes there's that small voice that says, don't do it, or do it, or something.
Well, and here's the other thing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Sometimes I need to make a decision. If I don't have peace, if the Spirit has not given me peace, no peace, no move.
That's right.
And that's
you
the Spirit.
You come to the door with something else. Well, we need to go to the door with the sword of the Spirit.
Well, there you go. And there's more evidence, all right, that the voice of God is going to line up with the Word of God, because the sword of the Spirit is the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, where is what was that song? The bird's word. Okay, anyway. So here are some ways that the Spirit speaks to me, verbally. Through class, sermons. I hope when you go out here to worship today that you hear the Spirit speaking through the Word, through the sermon. When I'm teaching others, when I'm teaching in this, I can't tell you how many times I have revelation from the Spirit or confirmation as I'm teaching or I hear somebody say something or whatever. We're going through a piece of Scripture and boom, all of a sudden I just feel the Spirit. Yeah. All right? It's that voice or whatever. It's my conscience. It's that voice in my head or whatever that's letting me know something. So, yeah. There's nonverbal. Absolutely, Sandra. There's nonverbal. I can feel the Spirit because He's my comforter. It's like a nice warm blanket. I'm sitting back and I'm not worried about the things of the world. I've done my steps or whatever. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, you know what? Thank you for your peace. It's a nonverbal sometimes for me. I can sometimes feel the touch of God. It's nonverbal. Written. That's where I mostly hear the Spirit, is through reading and studying the Word. I got two scriptures, Hebrews 4:12 and Ephesians 6:17, and Muriel already pointed to Ephesians 6:17. And Hebrews 4:12 is talking about that sword, that double-edged sword, that separates my emotions from the Spirit of God, because that's two different domains. So when I'm studying here in the Word, that is where I most feel the presence of Spirit speaking to me. Active listening. The second most often occurrence of me hearing is that voice in my head, especially during quiet time and at night. I have to keep a notebook by my bed, because when I'm thinking about God in the middle of the night or whatever, I have my quiet time, something will just speak to me. And it'll come to my remembrance. I'm like, oh, I got to write that down. I've got to write that down before the enemy takes it. Yes.
I worked for a guy that he had his thoughts in the shower.
Yes.
He put a waterproof tablet in the shower.
Yeah. And let's go back to what Lauren said. It's a thought that comes to my mind that I didn't go to school for. It's a thought that comes to my mind that I know in my limited capacity, how did this get in my gray matter? This is, I mean, no. That's God.
And then sometimes it's a thought that comes to your mind and you're like, and then you just keep moving on because you're not sure, but then it keeps coming back to your mind.
Yes.
Coming back to your mind, and it's like it won't leave you alone.
Yep. And there's a difference between some of the thoughts that hit my mind and these thoughts, because some of the thoughts that hit my mind are not giving God glory, and I know they don't line up with scriptures.
Just all right. Driving, right?
Oh. Yes.
I told this guy in the shower, I said, you know, you keep doing this, I'm going to turn your water off.
Or flush the toilet. And sometimes it's the unction that's coming from a different place from my emotions.
And sometimes your heart's beating out of your chest.
Yeah, I have a physical response that I know that happens inside my body.
Okay. Yeah. I just get excited because I like learning stuff. I'm like, oh my God.
And the Spirit speaking through me.
Yeah.
And I know the Spirit.
Yep.
I know that it's Him.
I get excited about that.
I can feel.
Is that
my
heart thing?
Shake.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like right. I can feel something inside of me. It feels like this.
Yes.
But it's not really doing that. But I feel
yep.
it.
All right. And the third most instance of Him, this is just me personally, is when I see it visually. Anybody here hunt? Ever hunt? Oh my God. I can't think of a time where I've ever been hunting and I didn't see God. Can't remember because I ain't hardly shot anything. So I just get bored, wait for something to walk by, nothing walking by, and I'm like, wow, that's God. Spirit just speaks to me sometimes, just looking at something. even in our experience in this hour, as we see, it's on Zoom, and I feel the Spirit. The Spirit is confirming to me that us studying this instead of the parable, as good as that parable is rhema's right now. It's just confirmation from the Spirit.
Well, this lesson right here is confirmation for us of a lot of things that have happened this week.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen to that.
All right. So I am out of time, but let me go through this quickly and I'll just drive a little faster. Here's some of my Google results. All right. How to tell if it's the Spirit. All right. Is your first instinct to defend yourself or prove you're right? If so, that's your flesh and not the Holy Spirit. I thought that was good. I had to go, I quote the truth wherever I find it. It was on Google. All right. And I'll have all this. I'll put this on the website or whatever so I can email this if somebody wants to see some of this. Are you looking down on someone or feeling disdain for another person? If yes, that is your flesh, your sinful nature at work. The Holy Spirit is always love and wants to give you love for every person. Google. All right, here we are. Are you envious of what someone else has, feeling you deserve the same thing? If so, that is your flesh. The Holy Spirit never leads us to condones jealousy. Here's one. I'm going to highlight this one. I know a lot of people that struggle with this. Are you struggling to apologize and admit you're wrong? That too is your flesh. The Spirit's desire is for your pride to decrease and the humility of Christ to grow in its place. Do you see the toddler version of yourself coming alive? I thought that was cute. Do you want what you want when you want it? Yeah. That's walking in the flesh and not the Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires sacrifice for God that is also God-dependent, not sacrifice for self-glory. All right. And this is for all the children in the world. Are you an ungrateful discontent? If so, you are being led by your flesh. Ingratitude is never from the Holy Spirit.
And the children, it doesn't depend on the age, the chronological age.
No, I'm just picking on him. No. Hey, there's some grown, gray-haired kids. Yeah, yeah. I know a couple of kids.
31 years old.
I know a couple of kids with AARP cards. All right, here we go. Now, I got this from JesusWalk.com. And it's talking about Samuel or whatever. He just goes through some points or whatever. He gives the example of Samuel being called. I don't have time to go through it. But this is what I pull off the internet. And one of the things he says is humility is required. And you know why I pulled this off and highlighted. All right. I guess it goes by the steps. So he says, you know, humility is required. And then he says Samuel places himself in the position of a servant. So it means surrendering control. Step two. There you go. And then it is the willingness to obey. And we will only know when we're willing to trust. And that is that new hope that we get, step three. And I'm like, even Google follows my steps, his steps.
Yeah.
And I think, and then you got to discern God's voice, which is step four. I just thought it was just so neat that they came up with this. And it lined up with my steps. I had to put it in here. All right. Just a couple of last things. God's voice is the real thing. The world, the voices of others, peer pressure, worldly standards of success are not. Our flesh develop. These are just all the different things that are, you said our conscience, our moral sense of right and wrong that we obtain from our upbringing. All right. Sometimes we are hindered by skewed sense of justice or righteousness. Legalism, insensitivity to certain sins. Our conscience is strongly influenced by the culture we grow up in. And that may not always be by the Spirit. However, the conscience can be educated by the Word of God as we seek His way. Got it? How do we discern between these? It's a learning process. Holy Spirit. Okay, let me get to, I'm really out of time here. Just renewing the process. All right, so here's some tips to hear the Spirit. Spend time with God regularly. It's a relationship. Read the scriptures. That's the sword of the Spirit. Confess and repent of any known sin. It's hard to hear the Spirit when you're hanging around Egypt. Recognize and surrender your desires. Step two. Seek counsel if you're not sure. Ask where the doggone Band-Aid strips are, Jimmy! I don't see damage in that. I mean, I'm just walking through the store. I don't see any damage in that. But it's still not following the Spirit because it's still my pride. I got to get past that. Well, maybe the Spirit is moving through the signs as I read the signs in the store that tells me what direction I need to go in. Amen. And then they change the signs up or whatever. Now, the greeting cards.
Well, you got to read directions.
Yeah. Well, amen. There you go. Jimmy, we got hope. Lessons for disciples. Here's some main points that we discussed in the lesson. Listen for God's voice. It's a biblical pattern. Jesus demonstrated before his disciples a pattern of getting away to a solitary place. Go someplace where the TV's not on. You ever pray and get distracted?
Yes.
And then I gotta go back. So I gotta pray different ways. I gotta pray in different places or whatever. Sometimes I gotta walk or go outside because when I'm it helps me stay focused. Sometimes just being in my room, in my closet, praying, if I'm not praying out loud or whatever, I'll get distracted.
I write them down.
Yep. So whatever it takes to help you keep from getting distracted. All right.
Phone is a distraction.
The Bible and the Spirit sometimes speaks to believers. There's a whole lot of different other things here. Hearing the Spirit is a learning process where we'll make mistakes as we learn. We are learning to discern between God's voice, the world, the flesh, the devil, and the conscience. All right.
Good deal.
That's the lesson.
Okay. When
I will post it.